Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The wild success of the criminal procedural on television... Yes, like that one, if nothing else, has made America very familiar with the Miranda warning that's read to all suspects when they are arrested. You know it, and you say it with me, quote, you have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you. But what attorney? Currently in Massachusetts, 90% of court-appointed legal cases are handled by some 3,000 private attorneys called bar advocates. They work under contract with the state. Governor Deval Patrick wants to overhaul that system. He proposes eliminating the contract attorneys and instead hiring a permanent staff of 1,000 public defenders. He says it will save the state $45 million. The bar advocates say they're saving the state money by funding their own overhead, health care insurance and malpractice insurance, and pensions. And on today's Talker, we'll dive into the debate. So joining us now is Jay Gonzalez. He is the Secretary of Administration and Finance for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Mr. Gonzalez, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Meghna.
It's great to have you. So let me ask you, Governor Patrick says this is going to save $45 million a year for the Commonwealth. How is that?
It's going to save $45 million next year, and once we are fully phased in, it's going to save about $60 million on an annual basis. And here's how that happens. Right now, as you mentioned, there are about 3,000 private lawyers who are billing the state for cases that they take to provide free counsel to indigent defendants. We, right now, our spending in this program has been going through the roof. About 50% of those 3,000 private lawyers are being paid more in a year than the 200 or so full-time lawyers that are currently on staff that are handling the other 10% of the cases are making working full-time for the state. Mm. We've done an analysis that shows that if you take into account the salaries of adding about 1,000 new lawyers with very conservative assumptions of how many cases they would take, and you include their pension costs, their health insurance costs, the cost for rent, all other administrative overhead costs with very conservative assumptions about that, we would save on an annualized basis $60 million a year.
So, Secretary Gonzalez, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I mean, you said very conservative assumptions, and I think that's partially where the sticking point is. I mean, if you're going to actually put folks on salary versus the fluctuating, what is it, $50 to $100 hourly rate, I mean, those conservative assumptions are essential.
Well, we're comparing what we would spend to pay full-time staff to take these cases. Even if you assume they take 80%, have caseloads at 80% of the level of what the National Association of Defense Lawyers says is appropriate, then we would spend about $60 million less a year than we are spending currently with the program the way it is. And in this fiscal environment where we're facing our toughest fiscal year next year, and we are, as a state, going to have to reduce spending by the biggest amount in 20 years, we cannot justify carrying out a program like this to taxpayers where they're spending $60 million more than they need to. Mm. We need to do what we can to change the way government delivers services to preserve these services for the people who are entitled to them. We have to provide free counsel to those who can't afford it, criminal defendants who can't afford it, and we intend to do that and to provide good quality counsel, but we can't do it at an expense that isn't justifiable to taxpayers. We need to do everything we can to stretch every taxpayer dollar as far as possible, and this is a good proposal that will do that and save $60 million to preserve this program and other important programs in state government.
And just to note, the current system costs the state approximately $200 million a year. But Secretary Gonzalez, I've got several other guests that I want to bring into the conversation. But before I do that, there's a key question on my mind here is if you're going from 3,000 contract lawyers down to 1,000 public defenders, that's a third the amount of lawyers available for representation. Can they handle the caseload?
Yes, they can handle the caseload. As I said, we've made conservative assumptions about how many cases they would take, each lawyer would take, based on national standards. Right now, those 3,000 private bar advocates aren't spending full time working on these cases. But many of them are spending enough time and billing the state enough that they are, we are spending more on more than half of those 3,000 private lawyers than we do for a full-time staff attorney, and that's just not right.
Mm. Listener, so what do you make of it? Do you agree with Governor Deval Patrick's plan to create a cadre of 1,000 public defenders, or do you think that the system should stay the same in Massachusetts, where we have 3,000 contract lawyers who represent defendants who need legal assistance? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining us also here in the studio is David Carroll. He's research director for the nonprofit National Legal Aid and Defender Association. David Carroll, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So I guess what's your sort of top line assessment of Governor Patrick's and Secretary Gonzalez's plan to create a public defender's office?
First of all, I applaud the attempt to try to hold down the cost to the criminal justice. I think that's every policymaker's end goal here. We have concerns about the way that they're going about it. Public defense attorneys do not create their own workload. The way to reduce criminal justice budgets for indigent defense is to look at new ways to just take out cases from the formal criminal justice system. That will not only save money for public defense, but also for prosecution, courts, probation, corrections, and all the other attendant costs of criminal justice. In looking at the governor's plan, we have concerns. There's a document that's been put out by the American Bar Association called the 10 Principles of a Public Defense System. They cull down all the national standards into 10 simple principles. The very first one calls for independence of the public defense system. And under the governor's plan, as we've read it, he's calling for the elimination of the independent board oversight of the public defense system,
which is currently under the oversight of the judicial branch.
That's correct.
And Governor Patrick's plan proposes moving that into the executive branch. Secretary Gonzalez, what's your response to that? There is concern that, you know, like it or not, the executive branch is seen as more political and therefore subject to the forces of politics than the judiciary is. Is that the place where we should have, a group of folks who should be immune from politics, essentially?
Our proposal would make the public defender's office much more accountable and I think get rid of some incentives that shouldn't be in the system right now. Right now, Massachusetts is only one of six states that has their public defense system in the judicial, completely in the judicial branch, and it is governed by a 15-member board of lawyers appointed by the Chief Justice, four of whom that are currently on the board last year served as private bar advocates that actually billed collectively $250,000 to the state. That just does not make sense. They have an incentive to keep the system the way it is, and they are benefiting from the system, and they should not be governing it. So what we've proposed to do is to move it from the judicial branch, take it out of the control of a board of 15 lawyers, some of whom benefit from the system, and put it into an independent executive branch agency similar to the state comptroller and certain other agencies where the chief counsel would be appointed by the governor, but it would be an independent executive branch agency and not within one of the governor's secretariats. This is more consistent with what more states do than our current system.
David Carroll, I saw you shaking your head when Secretary Gonzalez said that Massachusetts is one of six states that has the public, legal representation in the judicial branch.
Yeah, it's simply incorrect. I don't necessarily want to go back and forth, but I can name 14 states and out of the statewide systems that have them in the judiciary. What's important is that, as I referenced the ABA 10 principles, our nation's top law enforcement officer, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, has called them the basic building blocks of a functioning public defender system. Those states that have direct gubernatorial appointments of chief defenders are part of the national chronic problems of indigent defense. It may do well under the current administration, but what happens when Governor Patrick is elected out of office or chooses not to run and the next administration comes in? You can have undue political interference, and a board has to, under the ABA principles, be there as a buffer. Now, having said that, I agree that people who serve on the board should not be benefiting from from the services they're providing. And so there can be adjustments within the current board that I could go along with.
Secretary Gonzalez, I know we have to let you go here in just a minute, but before I do, I just want to ask you about another aspect of the governor's proposal. The new department that you mentioned, he wants to create, the Department of Public Counsel Services, also proposes to be more strict in deciding who is actually going to receive free counsel from the state. In other words, an ability to pay test. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we aren't proposing to change the standards for who is eligible. People who are indigent have a right to free counsel, and we're not proposing to take that away. But right now, the probation department in Massachusetts is the one that checks, that verifies a person's indigency, and we have observed the process that they follow, which basically is not much of a process. What we intend to do by bringing this into the executive branch is we have other executive branch agencies that have indigency verification systems in place for other eligibility programs in state government, and we can lean on those systems to do a more rigorous check on whether somebody actually can afford a lawyer or not. And if they can't, we will continue to provide great legal counsel to them. But if they can't afford it, then the state shouldn't be paying for their legal counsel. So we estimate, just based on the experience in other state programs where they use this system to verify whether somebody can afford to pay or not, that there would be a number of people who are getting free counsel today that wouldn't be entitled to it. It shouldn't be entitled to it today and won't be under the governor's plan.
Jay Gonzalez, Secretary of Administration and Finance for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
David Carroll, we've got a ton of callers who want to join us as well, and I'm going to get to them in just a second. But before we do, help us put this in context here. How does Massachusetts' current system of using those 3,000 contract lawyers as bar advocates, as you've mentioned, how does that compare to what's happening in the rest of the country? I've always understood that we were actually sort of better off than many other states.
Yes, I would say that Massachusetts does meet the parameters of the ABA 10 principles and that most states do not. As far as use of public defenders versus private counsel, the vast majority of services in our country are provided by private counsel. That's due to a lot of states not being organized on a state level. Currently, there's 28 to 30, depending on how you count it, statewide systems. And about half of those are in the judicial branch. And so just so people understand, these ABA principles do say that you can't get rid of the private defense bar altogether, that there will always be co-defendant cases and conflict cases and public defense overload cases. So you have to always have a healthy portion of private bar attorneys doing this work.
Let's get a quick call in here. Michael's calling from Jamaica Plain. Hi there, Michael. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How are you? I'm a private bar advocate at Massachusetts, but also was a full-time lawyer at CPCS. And I think that the governor is missing a couple of things, both ethically and fiscally, in his proposal. First of all, I would question whether or not his $162 million proposal accounts things like the vacation and sick time benefits that full-time employees get. Also, in your W-2s and item 14, things like health insurance and pension benefits, those numbers, are those included in the budget? Because those are a lot of money for 2,000 people. Also, by my calculations, the private bar takes cases at about $652 a case. That's 180,000 cases at the current fiscal year 2011 budget, whereas private bar is much more expensive, about twice as expensive. And even in the governor's proposal, it's still about $813 per case, which is still more expensive on a per case basis. I don't think it saves any money. An ethical point of view, the chief counsel of CPCS has traditionally had as a role as an advocate for civil liberties in general, and he often lobbies the legislature against what he perceives to be harsher penalties, mistakes in the criminal justice system, things like that the executive is proposing, given each election cycle. For him to be appointed in each election cycle would be a per se conflict of interest of the standing role of the chief counsel.
Michael, we're going to talk to the current chief counsel of the Committee for Public Counsel and get an answer to your question and your points. Thank you so much for your call. Joining us now is Anthony Benedetti. He is chief counsel for the Committee for Public Counsel, the current group that works with those 3,000 bar advocates. Mr. Benedetti, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome. Also with us is Samuel Sutter. He is the district attorney for Bristol County. Mr. Sutter, welcome to Radio Boston as well.
Hello, Meghna. Glad to be with you and looking forward to an interesting discussion.
Okay. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes to have as much passion as we can bring to this as possible. Mr. Sutter, let me just get your top line here. The DAs have been quite vocal about the fact that they think for quite some time that they've been underfunded in comparison to the Committee for Public Counsel. Do you see the governor's proposal as a move to rectify that?
Well, obviously I do, because the governor says that this will save $45 million initially and $60 million annually after the initial savings. The reality is, Meghna, that in the last 7 years there's been a seismic change in the way that indigent defense public counsel has been funded, especially compared to prosecution. So 7 years ago, their funding for criminal cases was approximately $68 million, and the funding for the prosecution, for the prosecutors across the state, was approximately $76 million. And there's been a tremendous reversal in the last 7 years, so that their funding is now over $200 million. Now 19% of that is for civil cases. So let's say it's $168 million. From $68 million to $168 million in just 7 years. Mm. Funding for the district attorneys, the 11 district attorneys, has gone up slightly from $76 million to $92 million. So obviously there is a problem here that needs to be rectified, and I think that the governor's proposal is a good starting point for the debate. The other point
actually,
I
would put out there, Mr. Sutter, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if I could, let me just get Mr. Benedetti's reaction to that, because you know, one might say that one of the reasons why the DAs have a smaller budget is because they have access to the resources that come with law enforcement. You know, Mr. Benedetti, your reaction to that?
Well, if I could, I'd rather not get into a debate over the funding levels of the district attorneys versus the Committee for Public Counsel Services and the indigent defense function.
That's fair enough. Then let me ask you instead. That's fair enough. My question then is, does this move by the governor, do you think it actually compromises the state's ability to provide legal counsel for those who need it and can't afford it?
Without a doubt. We completely appreciate that the state has severe is in the midst of a severe budget crisis, and the governor has to deal with those realities. But the cost savings that are being suggested in this proposal are completely illusory, or at a minimum are being overstated. We've had a chance now to study the proposal, and it makes a number of assumptions that are either unrealistic or simply not able to be accomplished. One of the things that Jay Gonzalez mentioned is indigency verification, and how now that is being done by probation. Well, CPCS has been on record for the last few years requesting that something be done about that process, because we do not want to be representing individuals who are not indigent. So what this budget does is say, let's take this from probation and give it to the new head of the new agency that will be in charge of indigent defense, and let him figure it out. And by the way, it will save $11 million. Mm. Well, it doesn't provide any money to this new agency to accomplish what probation has not been able to do successfully. And so that, right off the top, is $11 million.
Actually, let me turn back to Mr. Sutter of Bristol County DA. Your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction is that the issue that public counsel does everything in its power, and I say this with all respect for Mr. Benedetti, because I'm right now serving on a commission with him. We're trying to do something about changing some misdemeanors into civil infractions so that it costs less to both prosecute and defend those actions. But the reality that he will not face is that, according to a study just 5 years ago, Meghna, by a group out of Newton, the Spangenberg Group, that's dedicated to improving indigent defense. Massachusetts had the fourth most expensive system of indigent defense in the entire United States. And in the last 5 years since that study, spending for indigent defense has gone up 93%. So that, I mean, we've got this Maserati for indigent defense, and I don't think the taxpayers, I don't think the citizens want that, and I also think that they want something done about the chronic underfunding of prosecutors without their taxes or their fees being raised. So that's the essential fulcrum of the debate in front of us.
Let me turn just momentarily to David Carroll. I'm feeling the heat of a trial going on right here, but unfortunately we don't have a ton of time to do all our discovery. David Carroll, your last response in the last minute that we have here.
The American Bar Association has called the state of the right to counsel in America in a perpetual state of crisis. Eric Holder has said it's been morally untenable. The comparison is not every other state. It's what's constitutionally required to be done. Is Massachusetts in the top five for cost per capita spending? Yes, but that doesn't mean that it's a Maserati. It may be that the rest of the world has just a bicycle that they're trying to work. So,
well, this right now is a proposal that Governor Patrick has put forth. As the proposal works its way across Beacon Hill, we will come back to it, certainly, because the conversation has only just begun. David Carroll, Research Director for the National Legal Aid and Defender Association, thank you so much for joining us. And Samuel Sutter, Bristol County District Attorney, thank you again for joining us. And Anthony Benedetti, Chief Counsel for the Committee for Public Counsel. Pleasure to have all of you on Radio Boston today.
Thank you, Magda.
Up next, your bubby may know how to make a knish, but can't you make a knish with a twist? We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.